Nothing. With updates every 20 minutes, I'm Jarrett Smith from the Kia Studios on your home for today's Falcons-Redskins game. Kickoff at 1 Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Good morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mr. Crenshaw, what is today?
It is a game day Sunday.
I love hearing that. And listen, congratulations go out to our own Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
We are going to talk to Hugh hopefully later on this hour, and we will tell you why in just a bit. But as always during the course of the week, John and Hugh get a chance to talk to our own Falcons head coach, Dan Quinn, about the upcoming matchup. Well, these guys are coming off a bye week, so I think the first question was about how'd you guys get a chance to relax during that bye week?
I definitely like watching. I watched, some of the college games on Saturday, all the way through. But at the end, like right after the game Monday, from into Tuesday, met with the guys. And then for a few days, you really want to lock in on like the things, that you can do to improve. You know, it's kind of like a good, chance to scout what you're doing well and what needs attention and work. And then that's what we ended up hitting hard with the guys on Monday's practice before we even turn the page over to Washington. It was like, all right, these are the, maybe two or three things that we really want to dial into and emphasize. And so that's what we did. But it was definitely good for a number of our guys. They needed it. I know that could be coach speak sometimes. The bye came at a good time. But for a number of the guys on this year's team, it just happened to line up just right for us. So we're charged up and ready to go.
Coach, what have all these injuries that your team has suffered taught you about your football team up until this point?
Well, I think a couple things. Number one, I think it's a battle-tested group, and you've gone through, some of the circumstances, close games right down to the end. And we're in a league that has a bunch of them, and we expect to have a bunch of them. So I'm hopeful that the lessons learned through those first seven, we're able to pay that forward, and that's how we'll know when we get back in those scenarios, back in those situations. Through the injuries, by that, you plan for those contingencies. And so every guy here, has their role on the roster. And I think even last weekend, we might have played all the guys defensively. We love, the smallest role may be the one that helps us win the game. So we try to make sure each guy knows their value and the importance of what they're doing for the team.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, did you expect to be, you suddenly turn into buyers here with the two-game win streak, in a manner of speaking. Did you expect to be fairly quiet, though, going into the trade deadline?
Like a lot of things, through Thomas and, the personnel side of things, we explored, all the options. And I think that's, the right thing to do, whether it's, during this time, during the spring, with trades, free agency. But when you factored in everything, we have real belief in the men that are here and how we'll go to attack and how to feature them in the very best way. So that's what our decision was. But we definitely went through the process and listened to calls and, what things are out there. But at the end of it, the belief in this group, in this locker room, kind of overrides any other tendency to go off in a different direction, like stay the course.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and I appreciate that as well. You did make some minor adjustments here to the offensive line because of the injuries at guard. You bring in Reese Odhiambo, you bring back Sean Harlow, and then you go out and get Zane Beadle. So can you walk me through those acquisitions?
Yeah, for sure. The first one's, with Reese, when we had the, unfortunate situation where we had a roster spot available. And so then where did we go? So we started off with Reese. We'd been somebody we've had our eye on for quite some time. He's had familiarity with the scheme. And then with Zane, it was kind of in the same fashion where we've scouted him and watched him. And so we thought he had versatility at guard and tackle. And we're going to start Zane off at tackle. And then, we'll transfer and get some guard work first. But he's always been somebody, we've respected. And so we wanted to make sure, we gave him a legit, look at it, and that's why he's here.
All right, we're talking with head coach Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons ahead of the game on Sunday against the Redskins.
Yeah, Coach AP, Adrian Peterson, look like he's found the fountain of youth. 127 carries, 587 yards this year. What kind of problems does he present to a defense?
Hugh, I think you'll, you can probably understand this as well as most. Last week, when you played Barkley, he's got, as a big back, he still had that change of direction. And I think that's not always the case. Oftentimes, a big back, you know, you think of lowering a shoulder and getting yards after contact. And even some of the guys, you know, that you played against had that style. But every once in a while, there's a big guy who also has that ability to jump cut, change direction, and then burst again. And so AP, for just such a long time, has this ability to, you know, attack to the line of scrimmage, then jump cut, and then explode vertically again. So that's what makes him so difficult, because he could be right in the hole, and then he's got the lateral quickness to make you miss, and then he'll stick his foot in the ground violently and go vertical again. So the tackling will be at hand for sure. And it's going to take more than one guy. You got to, you know, it's a defensive effort of swarming and getting after him, and that's the style. But, you know, he really looks consistent in how he's done it before. So it looks familiar, you know, from watching him, but it looks, you know, as explosive and strong like you normally expect him to, especially the way that he's cutting
you. You know, we expected something that Hugh and I were talking about in terms of the Washington starting 5-2, Coach Quinn. That is kind of interesting in that Jay Gruden's kind of old school. I mean, he's doing it with a running game. He's pounding the rock. He's stopping the run. And on the other side, he's got Ioannidis and Kerrigan and Allen, the three kind of core guys in the middle of their defensive line. Number two in the NFL in rushing defense up against your rushing offense that you want more production out of. How do you attack that from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, and there's got to be ways, you know, from how we go attack each team. You know, there's a little bit of differences how you go attack them and how you play ball. Their way they play is different, and they've been, you know, through the first half of this season, they've been excellent against the run. They really have. So both lines of scrimmage, they've played well in that way. The other thing they've done well, as going through, John, they've been excellent, you know, with the ball. And so their turnover margin's strong. They've got, you know, very few, you know, giveaways, you know, on by the offensive side. So they've controlled the ball without giving it away, controlled, you know, the run game in a number of games. So their style is clear, much like our style is, of how they want to play, how we want to play. So, man, are we really pumped for this chance. You know, it's going to be a hell of a game.
Speaking of that offense, Coach, Alex Smith's back there. He's like a statue. Is there going to be any more of an attempt to try to get pressure on the quarterback or extra pressure on the quarterback this week?
Not extra emphasis. You know me, it's from the get-go, that's the emphasis, because he does have, you know, movement to go, and, you know, he'll avoid, and then the new play begins. So he starts to drop back, and then I think he's got, you know, 30-some carries, you know, this year and, you know, seven games or so or eight games. And that part, for sure, you know, seems like he is as well. You know, we talked about AP as a guy who's done it, and Smith in the same way. He moves and get outside the pocket. He's always been somebody we just thought has been a hell of a competitor, whether he was at San Fran or Kansas City and now here. Really consistent in his style and throws well on the run. So defensively, you've got to be ready to plaster on some plays. But by every game, Hugh, you know that. That's our defensive line background, man. You better get off the rock and find ways to hit the quarterback. That's your best way to play pass defense.
Talking with head coach Dan Quinn. All right, Coach, let's talk a little bit about the health of the team. Matt Bryant, where do we stand right now?
Well, I'll have a better assessment for you tomorrow. He may kick a little bit tomorrow, so he's certainly making progress, which is a big thing for us. So it's been about, you know, 2 weeks since his injury. We had, you know, a game and then the bye. So, you know, as we're getting through it, he's starting to turn the corner in a good way. But we got to get him out there, John, to see where it is, because when you have a hamstring and walking or jogging, moving around, you know, like obviously Matt Bryant's not out there doing like full sprints, if you could imagine that. And so we got to get him out there and kick and see where he stands and how it feels. And that's what will take place a little bit tomorrow. So I'll have a better assessment that way. But for sure, he's feeling strong enough to get started in that process. So we've not ruled him out for this week.
Yeah, and then about probably a game time decision then. I mean, we're thinking about that. But of course, you got the nice benefit of having Giorgio back there, right?
He has. And I thought, you know, tribute to the, you know, the personnel side, bringing him in here during training camp, you know, for one of these contingencies that could happen if there was an injury. You know, we got to know him, we got to understand him, and he's done an excellent job here. And the guys who kind of get unnoticed is, you know, snapper, holder, he's a lefty. You know, the laces are different, how it's snapped for Harris, the holding's different for Boscher. So those guys really put the work in with Giorgio to make sure he felt comfortable. And that's when I knew they were off to a great start. I pulled Giorgio aside during the week, and he said, man, I really trust these guys. They've worked hard to make me feel, you know, confident and comfortable with them. So takes everybody, but he's off to a good start, and we don't know where we're at with Matt yet, but if Matt's not able to, then, you know, obviously we have Giorgio here, and we're going to lean on him again.
Yeah, is the bye week giving you a chance to heal up in other places too?
I think so. The the linebacker core, they finally feel up to speed of where we're going. Same thing at receiver. So to have everybody at receiver fully full speed and practicing and flying today, that's a big advantage for us, because when we played our last game, Mo was injured going into it, and Cal was as well. So each week provides some challenges, but from a health standpoint, we're definitely trending up.
Yeah, real quick on the linebackers. Do we know yet when the decision will be made on Deion Jones, at what point?
We sure do. So the rule is, John, no matter what on IR, you have to miss 8 games. Not 8 weeks, but 8 ball games. So that would be after those 8 games, that's when you're first eligible to return to play. And so until that moment happens, there's not a lot to discuss with it. But there's a window that you can practice. You don't have to use all that window, so that gets more confusing. The big thing for you and for the fans is, after the 8 games, we'll have a really good assessment as you're ready to go at that point. Doesn't mean you have to start at that point, but that's the first time you're able to.
Well, as best you can, all systems go for Sunday in Washington, Coach. Sounds like you guys are ready to build on this. Is it fair to say win streak?
I wouldn't say it's fair to say that. I would say it's fair to say, man, like, we know the opportunity, how much we can get better, man. And so we're totally, going for it in every way and in every detail. So we're excited to get rocking, man. And we'll see you guys here this afternoon.
It is Head Coach Dan Quinn's on Wednesday. Thanks, Coach. Do appreciate.
Every Wednesday you can hear Falcons Head Coach Dan Quinn joining Hugh and John. Is that guy's name on the ballot? Because he should be running for something. That was some great.
He
was
job,
the politician, man. He just weaved it right down.
You got to be able to do that.
You do. You absolutely do. We are going to dissect and question some of the things that we heard in this interview coming up with D-Led, who's going to join us in just a minute. But the takeaway from that, two things popped into my mind. One was, how do you feel about this bye week coming where it did?
I think it came at a pretty good time.
Yeah.
I think it came at sometimes they come early or late. I think this was just right for this season.
And does, of all the things and people that he discussed, the Matt Bryant loss.
He talked about Matt Bryant sprinting. I thought that was entertaining, just to hear that Matt Bryant sprint. I don't think so.
Yeah.
We don't want to see him do that. We want to see him kick. We want to see him be healthy.
We want to be accurate.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to get back into the Falcons game today against the Redskins. Remember, you can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. D-Led is joining us next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. Give
morning.
It to me again, man. Give it to me.
It is a game day Sunday.
Love hearing that. Falcons get ready to kick off with the Redskins at pregame 11 o'clock. Kickoff at 1. You can hear that game right here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And as is the case every Sunday, well, not every Sunday.
Most Sundays.
Most Sundays. We like to hear this, have this man on the show, and of course, his intro music, Mr. D. Orlando Ledbetter. How are you, sir?
Hey, Greg. I'm doing great. Happy to be on with you guys again this morning.
Yeah, well, now, guess what? Sam's back. He's back. It ain't just me. He made it.
You know, I had to be here to talk to D. Orlando. You know why?
Why is that?
He's one of the few people I know from Cleveland who didn't get fired this week.
Hey, Sam, that's my man. Yeah, I'm still good. My man Hugh is doing TV spots now, and I don't know where Tyrone Lue is going to surface, but... Yeah, it was a lot of bloodletting up in the land last week.
Hey, D, can you, and we should have asked you this ahead of time, but it just popped into my mind. Do you know what Dan Quinn has fared, Coach Dan Quinn has fared after bye weeks?
I didn't look that up. I was more worried about going into the bye week because I knew that was a 0-3. I didn't look at it coming out, but... I know last year and the 16, though, it had to be pretty good because, they went on the run to the playoffs. I'm not sure about the first year. It had to be bad because they went downhill after the 6-2 start. So, it's no pattern there coming out of the bye week.
What to expect after this bye week? We always think that it should be something positive. I feel like it came at the best part of the schedule for this team. Some have seen it come earlier, some later. I think this was a good time heading into the month of November. What are you looking for today and really expect coming off this bye?
Yeah, it's just a bad matchup for them coming off the bye. They got some weaknesses on strength for the Redskins on both sides of the ball. The team has missed tackles, not stopped the run, and now you want them to go out and stop Adrian Peterson. So, you know, that'll be something they haven't done if they accomplish that today. And then offensively, they haven't run the ball. You know, 83 yards a game, and the Redskins are stout up front. You know, it's Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Matt Iodidas, and Mason Foster, Zach Brown, linebacker. So the Falcons are going to win today. They're going to run the ball, which they haven't done all year, and they're going to tackle, which they haven't done all year. So bad matchup, but a good way for them to come out of the bye and improve and show people that, you know, they've worked on some of their weaknesses.
Talking to D. Orlando Ledbetter, joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Yeah, Adrian Peterson is one of my worries going into this game, but the other one is the kicking matchup. Now, we feel comfortable about Matt Bryan's backup, but that was on, the you know, here at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Now they're going to be out there on that funky turf in Washington. Are you confident about the kicking game?
Yeah, a little bit, Greg. That's a big concern, but the kid did kick out in Oakland, which is probably the worst track in the league. And, you know, probably this one here is the second worst. But so he's had some history kicking on the bad track. So, you know, he did pretty good out in Oakland last year. So it is a concern just because he's new and he's going outside for the first time with the Falcons. And, you know, it'll be a pretty good crowd there. Even though, you know, they wasn't showing up early this season, they've got back on the bandwagon here, and we'll be out in full force.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter from AJC and AJC.com. Keeps an eye on all things NFL, especially our Atlanta Falcons. We're getting set to take on the Washington Redskins. We know about Adrian Peterson and how he's found the fountain of youth there in Washington, D.C. But what other elements, if we're able to slow down his run, what other threats are they going to provide offensively today?
Well, the key is, you know, with their wide receivers, Chris, you know, he's out. Chris Thompson, the backup running back's out, and the Jameson Crowder's out. Their top receiver is the tight end, Jordan Reed. So the Falcons haven't covered the tight ends well at times, but you know he's going to Reed. He's captain check down and check down Charlie, whatever you want to call it. He doesn't throw the ball deep. So, you know, you want to be on Jordan Reed at all times and make sure that you take away his check downs, because he won't throw the ball deep. He barely throws it over 20 yards down the field once or twice a game. So, you know, stay on top of him, come up and tackle, and, you know, take care of Jordan Reed in the passing game, you know, and you'll be on your way to victory at that point.
Again, I gotta ask you two a question, both of you. Give me, and yeah, you got to be of a certain age to know this analogy, but what I see right now in Adrian Peterson is what I saw out of Marcus Allen. When Al Davis got mad at him, he got Bo Jackson in there, and Marcus Allen sat, and he didn't, you know, they ended up trading him to Kansas City, and he had a kind of a second career in Kansas City, and Joe Montana then showed up and made it a little easier.
Right.
What I'm seeing right now out of Adrian Peterson, again, two guys who had a Hall of Fame career before, and then this second act seems to be something that we didn't expect. Is that a fair analogy? Because, again, I'm looking at this and going, we're shaking our heads, but then we shouldn't really be that surprised.
Yeah, Greg, that's a good one. Marcus Allen in his latter years. I actually threw out a couple more this morning in the paper. John Riggins at 34 and 35 ran for over 1,000. He's one. O.J. Anderson, who helped the Giants win the Super Bowl at 33. You know, he went over 1,000. And Frank Gore went over 1,000 a couple years ago at 33. And Peterson's on pace for 1,300 yards right now. So, you know, and they're doing it with a winning team. Riggins did it with a winning team. And so did O.J. Anderson. So, and Marcus Allen was certainly, you know, whereas he didn't get the 1,000 yards, he was still, you know, a weapon in the passing game later in his career.
Right, right. D. Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You got one? I was gonna ask him about the acquisitions. Okay. We heard Coach Dan Quinn talk about not really doing any movement before the trade deadline and pretty much saying, you know, I'm going to dance with the one I came with. How did you feel about that?
I wouldn't have done that. I went out and got some help. This defense is bad. Get some help. They've shown signs of slight improvements. I don't see the great improvement coming. So when you get a chance to add a Pro Bowl player, you know, and you got a Pro Bowl offense, you're operating at peak form. Matt Ryan's 33. You don't want to waste his time. You don't want to be down the road and look back and say, all we got out of this was one Super Bowl trip. The Green Bay Packers, look at Brett Favre's career, all they got was one Super Bowl win. They got beat by Denver in the second one. So, you know, you got to maximize these windows when you have a Super Bowl quality offense, and you thought you had a Super Bowl quality defense until all of the injuries took it apart. You know, teaching and coaching the guys, the fundamentals, and their Plan D program is what they're relying on. So instead of getting a ha-ha Clinton Dix, they're going to go with Sherrard Neesman and Jordan Richards at a safety spot that, you know, they must think is going to get better. And when it gets better, we'll tell the people that. But, yeah, I would have went out and got a safety, and there was some available in addition to ha-ha Clinton Dix. You could have got Deion Buchanan, Carl Joseph out at Oakland. I wouldn't have paid over a fourth rounder, but, you know, and I don't know what the compensation packages were, but they couldn't have, you know, you're supposed to do your job and help the team and get them better players, and they didn't do that.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at D. Orlando AJC. Offensively, D. Led, talk about the running game. We want to get the running game, maybe sustain some drives, limit the opportunities and the possession chances for Adrian Peterson and the Redskins offense. So the run game has to be a key to that today.
Yeah, no doubt, Sam. And Coleman and Ito, maybe you go more to Ito Smith here. Maybe you try to get some quick stuff outside. We're going to see the toss sweeps for sure and the stretch plays because they can't run directly at the Redskins' defensive front. It's a 3-4, so, you know, the guys outside setting the edge, Ryan Kerrigan, the main one, you want to get outside and make these big fat boys run down the field a little bit, get them tired, then, you know, just stay with it. And, you know, eventually hope it pops for you.
Let's go around the league just real quick, and I want to get your general thoughts on something, and mainly what's going on in Oakland right now. And here's the analogy that everybody's using. And do you see what John Gruden is doing having the same success as what Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones did when they came in and cleaned house with the Cowboys? As unpopular as that was back in the late 80s and early 90s, we saw what happened that first season. Troy got killed. That's what's going on right now with Derek Carr. But do you think that he has the ability to turn that thing around?
No, I don't. This just doesn't make any sense to me. He comes in and tears. He turned down a 12-4 team. The team was 12-4, and time to go to, you know, make it to the playoffs and do some damage before Derek Carr's injury. So I don't understand this at all. He didn't have a rebuild. He came in and made it a rebuild because he wants to be, because of his ego, to build a team and his image and so forth. Reggie McKenzie had that thing built up pretty good and ready to fire. But you know, it's got to be all about the coach. And it makes no sense to me and the Raider fans what he's done to that team, trading away good players to stock draft picks that, you know, may be good or may not be good down the stretch, you know, down the road here. So, I mean, when you got a good team, you don't tear it apart. And with the hopes that, hey, I'm going to, you know, I got a 10-year, $100 million contract, I'll be fine. You know, I just don't believe in trading good football players, you know, in the name of, you know, building a tear-down rebuild team when you don't have to.
D, let's look at our division and look at the Saints. They got the matchup today. Can they slow down this Ram Express? We got a little while before you go. Just a couple of seconds here.
Oh, yeah, I think that, the Saints have done a good job on defense this year. That's going to be quite a game down there. And, you know, they got the Eli Apple to help out in the secondary. That's going to be a big bonus for them.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
All right, Tim and Greg, thanks for having me.
No problem, man. Have a big day. We are going to hopefully get in touch with our co-worker, Hugh Douglas, and say congratulations to him up next. If not, we're going to continue talking lots of football and taking your calls if you want. 404-741-0929. And Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam, it is Greg on a game day Sunday morning. I just don't do it like you.
It's all right, though, man. You know what? Clear blue skies out there.
Yeah.
Clear blue skies.
It's a beautiful morning.
It is an awesome morning. Awesome morning if you're out. And thanks for letting us ride along with you wherever you may be going. If you're working a late shift and you're getting off work and you had us ride along with you. If you're on your way to church this morning, got us riding along with you. We thank you for carrying Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with you wherever you're going. And hope you're following us on social media on our various platforms. On Twitter at 92.9 The Game, Facebook at 92.9 The Game, and also Instagram at 92.9 The Game. And also going to our website, radio 92.9thegame.com, and reading everything on all of our local teams. You get all the latest. You want to hear any interviews you didn't get during the week, they're there. Any past episodes and adventures of weekend mornings can be found there as well.
Find on Seinfeld's. You said reruns.
You know what I mean?
It's all about local teams, though, today in the station. We got Falcons game against the Redskins, 1 o'clock kickoff, pregame at 11, and then Atlanta United. Up there and pregame 7:15, kickoff 7:45. If you are just joining us or joined us in a little bit, you missed the beginning of the show where we talked about the college football games from yesterday. Of course, the big game between LSU and Alabama, and the fact that Alabama is now officially coming back to Georgia December 1st to take on the Bulldogs.
Was there ever a doubt in your mind?
Listen, again, up till that last touchdown just before halftime, you had hope. LSU only held them to 9 points.
9 points.
But
their offense couldn't get across the 50.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It was all about the defense. And the thing about the people that we talked to going into that game was if LSU could keep a low score, anything could happen in the second half. That was general consensus. And then when these guys put another one up and made it 16-0 going into halftime, here we go.
Yeah.
But anyway, as they come to town, and Sam and I have talked about this on the show for years, Alabama's always coming here, and it just ticks off everybody here in Atlanta. But we had to spin this in a way that became a positive. So we decided to look at the money that the folks from Alabama or the Bama fans bring to the city of Atlanta. And we decided to make a call to the DOT, and they've assured us that the money that they bring into this city will go to fixing our potholes.
Oh, the hotel and restaurant and entertainment, all the things that they do.
And we also found out this morning that some of the hotels don't even want them staying there.
Because they don't stay long.
No, they just come for one night. Folks from Auburn come for a couple days.
Right.
Go visit the College Football Hall of Fame, spend some time.
Right.
Maybe go see some shoe modeling, whatever the case is.
Shoe modeling?
Yeah, shoe modeling.
Okay.
But whatever it is, they come
shoe
to town.
Shoe modeling.
And they stay.
Yeah, you do.
But them Bama fans, they come in, dip in, they dip out.
Yep, they come in, they win, and they head back. But, you know, while they're here, though, they probably hit a restaurant. They'll probably get something to eat or something while they're here. And that's all good. That all contributes. So thank you.
So,
thank you when you come.
But we needed to know what streets really needed tending to.
Because we have some that needed more
so
than
So we
others.
Put it out there earlier in the show, and you folks have been responding. We couldn't be more thankful. And we're going to continue up till December 1st. And then we'll pass this list on to the DOT. So 14th Street, 14th and 10th,
right,
between the connector reaching all the way over to the north side.
Needed bad.
Got a call from folks in Stone Mountain.
Yes.
Rockbridge Road. They got lots of potholes that need tending to. Marietta Street right here in Techwood. You said from Techwood just going west.
You go west.
Got a couple miles. Peachtree Street right here in Midtown. And then Jared came in with South Cobb Drive.
South Cobb Drive.
Right there around Dobbins Air Force Base.
Okay.
So
there you go.
Okay. So those are the streets initially that we're going to pass on to the DOT that need tending to.
It is week 9 of National Football League. We know our Falcons play today. Any other games that you're watching closely today, Greg? There's some games that you or any particular
Well, that
players.
Saints game that you mentioned.
Saints and Rams.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of the really good games today. Looking forward to seeing that. Buccaneers and Patriots. And once again, they're playing musical chairs with quarterbacks down at Tampa Bay. We don't know which one we're going to see.
Listen, let's ask a serious question, though. Does he stay on that team next year? Do they work out something?
Now the Heat, that we are
talking about Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Okay. The king.
What is his fate? What do you think his fate is?
The king of crab legs
in Tampa Bay. Because I just don't know. I think
it could be tied directly to the coach. They both could be on the same.
True.
They could be on the same good ship. You know what I mean? At season's end. So, I mean, you watch and see what happens with that. Yes, they've invested a lot of money in Jameis Winston, and they put him out there to be the guy they think can carry them forward because he has the tools. But he goes out and he lays an egg in games. And so he'll start on the bench today in the game against the Carolina Panthers up at Charlotte.
Why don't I get more excited about the Sunday night game? Everybody's, touting. By the way, I haven't asked you, have you seen that commercial with Michael Jordan?
No, what's this?
They had a commercial with Michael Jordan, and they did this brilliantly. And it's got people, initially it was supposed to be kind of pushing the buttons toward you-know-who. But Jordan comes out talking in a way that makes it sound like he's ready to take on LeBron. A lot of conversation. You have to see it.
Okay.
And talking about two all-time greats, and they wear the same number and so on and so forth. But he's talking about this game and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I just am not worked up into a lather about this because I think at the end of the day, Green Bay doesn't have enough around Aaron Rodgers to make them a serious contender long term.
Now,
it's a nice matchup. It's a nice kind of
thing.
Yeah, but you talk about somebody who's been done wrong during his career and not been given the tools. It's Aaron Rodgers. Now, I say that knowing that I hope he fails at every turn because of the other team I care about in that division, the Bears. But it's still, you want to see greatness.
Yeah.
And this dude has performed despite not having all that. And Jordy Nelson was the last straw for me.
And that's the thing that reels you in for the game tonight. You want to see him summon that greatness for this matchup tonight, for this game. I think that's why people would tune in. That Rams-Saints game is one that I'm looking forward to. It's a 4:25 start. So I got my viewing all lined up, sir.
Well, I put them the music.
Okay.
Tom Brady is Pavarotti.
Okay.
But Aaron Rodgers is Miles Davis.
Ooh.
He plays like jazz, man.
Yeah, the improvisation.
He plays like jazz. Yeah. Brady's in that system. So we'll see what happens tonight. But all we care about really is at 1 o'clock what kicks off then. Falcons and Redskins, you can hear that right here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.